Good morning. If you have your Bible, would you please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5, and would you please stand in the reading of God's word. Verse 27 to 32, we are preaching Christ in the city and the kingdom of God. And here in Luke, chapter 5, verse 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father God, as we prepare our hearts this morning to hear from heaven, I pray, God, that you would expand our horizon when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to you moving and working in our hearts, in our churches, in our city, and in our communities. Holy Spirit, now come upon your servant. Bless me, strengthen me, empower me to speak while you speak to me. It's in Jesus' name that I pray this. Amen. I am still amazed that God would take a guy like me and make a preacher out of me. The worst time for me is sitting there because I have, I think about, man, I should just get up and just hit the doors, but I've come to trust and believe. The kingdom of God is where the rule and the reign of God is breaking through, and justice and righteousness and peace is the foundation of everything we do and say, and most importantly, live. In this particular scene, we see Jesus demonstrating and expressing with great authority the kingdom of God by spreading the good news to one who is considered to be least, lost, little, and a leftover, whose name is Levi. By all religious standards and qualifications of that day, and I might even say today as well, in many of our prestigious and pious religious institutions, a person with the background of Levi would not be summoned to come and taste and see that the Lord is good, that his right hands are pleasures forevermore. You know, Levi was a bad dude in a bad sense. And usually when the seminaries go to recruit, they don't go look for guys like Levi with his kind of background. But here in verse 27, we see Jesus, the master, the son of God, the God man, doing something much different. Verse 27, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector. I like the word saw there. The verb there, the Greek rendering, it means to behold, to contemplate. A careful and deliberate vision which interprets its object. Jesus saw all that Levi was, and what he would be, and what he would become. He saw the sinful lifestyle, but he also saw something else. He saw what Levi would become. Jesus saw a man who was the most hated of men among the Jews because tax collectors were dishonest, greedy, unjust people, and extremely wealthy because of their fleecing of the average citizen. To the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were the center of sinners because they worked for the Roman government and was therefore barred from the synagogues and other Jewish religious services. A tax collector could even go into the house of the Lord. They were barred from ever receiving the good news as far as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have them. But Jesus also sees a man who needs to repent. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law sees a leftover, a nobody, a zero. But Jesus sees a man who needs to repent. And it is in this context where we see the kingdom of God about to be expressed and demonstrated by Jesus. Well, how did Jesus express the kingdom of God in this scene? Well, first, he calls a nobody, a leftover, a person who knows that they have no righteousness of their own to become one of his disciples, who later became an apostle. Then he goes to the leftover's neighborhood. And then he don't stop there. He goes to his home. And he still doesn't stop there. And then he proceeds to begin to eat with the guy and with all of his homeboys from the block. Now he's breaking down all, in other words, he's making the Pharisees pretty mad because Jesus is moving into the neighborhood where the sinners and the outcasts, those that know that they have no righteousness of their own. In Palestinian culture, inviting a man to a meal is a sign of honor. It signals peace, trust, brotherhood, and forgiveness. Sharing a table means sharing life. Jesus dining with the unclean represents their inclusion around the heavenly banquet table. They're welcome into the community of salvation. But the Pharisees had a different opinion about Jesus sitting at the table of Levi and a bunch of sinners. I love the Pharisees because they ask a question that I believe is a $1 million question. But I want you to understand, when Jesus was sitting at the table, he wasn't sitting there with his feet propped up and talking to the tax collectors about their 401k and pension plan. Jesus wasn't sitting around the table doing that. But he was giving to them the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom. Because he tells us in chapter 4, verse 43, that he must preach the good news into other towns. So anytime Jesus got around some sinners, you better believe it that he was giving them the good news of the kingdom of God. He was being about the Father's business. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious people, the guardians of the Torah or the law of Moses, asked the $1 million question of that day, the question that is still being asked today in many of our churches. Here it is. Why do you and drink with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus. Why are you spending your time over here, Jesus? In hope and despair, Jesus. Jesus, don't you understand that the unclean are over there? Jesus, why are you over there? Come to our restaurant where everyone has on white flowing robes. Jesus, why are you spending time over there with all of that brokenness and hopelessness, Jesus? Jesus, can you see the Pharisees? What are you doing, Jesus? Don't you understand that those people are unclean? That they're not worthy of the kingdom of God? Jesus, come out of there. Jesus, just drop the food off and leave. You don't have to eat with them, Jesus. You don't have to sit at the table with them, Jesus. Just go down there, leave the food at the corner of the street, Jesus, and leave. Don't go in there and start sitting down with them and conversing with them about the kingdom of God, Jesus. Jesus, don't put a church down where there's all of this hopelessness and despair. Because the people say when you plant a church, you plant it out on the outskirts of the city. Because the chances are better that the church will grow and prosper. You don't put a church in the hood. Where there's joblessness, single parent homes, unemployment, schools are falling apart, Jesus, what are you doing? Hanging out with some tax collectors and sinners. Oh, the Pharisee asked a question that still haunts the church today. I love Jesus' response. Jesus' response to the question of the Pharisees given to us in verse 31 and 32 is the greatest expression of the good news of the kingdom of God. Levi, the tax collector, who later became one of the apostles, shows us that no one is too lost or too little or too much of a leftover to be saved and invited into the kingdom of God. Oh, make no mistake about it. The Pharisees would have never chosen a guy like Levi. But Jesus walks up to him and calls him and follow me. And we know the story. What is that for us today? Well, there's a tendency sometimes to think that people are too far lost for the grace of God to get a hold of. See, God wanted to express his kingdom. There's despair. They're too gone. Can't go down there. Can't go down there. Something may happen. Channel 8 News say, hey, there's like Vietnam going on down there on the southeast side. Too far gone. Well, Jesus saw it a different way. Jesus went right up to him and called the guy and invited the guy into the kingdom of God. Nobody is too lost. Too much of a leftover for them not to be invited into the kingdom of God. So Jesus desires for us to go a little further into the neighborhood. Oh, he's not blind to the despair and the hopelessness that we see. Keep going. Because he tells us, it is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteousness, but sinners to repentance. If you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a family member that is just living like the devil, you know, this is good news to you. Because, you know, sometimes we know people. I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine that I knew for over 20 years, I have known for over 20 years. There are some people sometimes when we look at them, we don't verbally say it sometimes, but we say, that individual right there, I don't think God's going to ever get a hold of him or her. They just, they are on a freeway with no stop signs to hell. Got some people like that, you kind of look at them just like, man, I don't know if Jesus is going to get this person. I want to tell you about a friend that I've known for over 20 years. He would probably fit the Levi background. When I knew him, mean guy, the streets, what they call street credibility. Tough guy. When he walked in the room, people got on the other side of the room because he was known for just being a kind of a Mike Tyson type personality. One punch and there you go. You're out. And many of the family members and cousins and relatives would say, well, we know where he's going. Straight to prison. He's going to kill somebody. And in fact, God can't even get this guy. He's too far gone. Too much of a leftover. And this young man, well, he's not young. He's about my age. At one time, he even beat me up. Now, you see, I'm pretty big. This guy beat me up. Knocked me out. I was a skinny guy, and I ran home. That young man, whom the world would deem to be too far lost, is here today. And he's been coming to Madison since 2005. In September of this year, Pastor Dave and myself will marry him in this church. Now, I've been walking in this thing for over 15 years. I used to go around him kind of like what Jesus was doing in the story. What I didn't know is that he was watching me. This young man, Anthony, would you please come, is sitting here today. I am not going to have him tell his story today. Cisco is going to be using him in a sermon sometime in August. I would encourage you to come out and hear because he's been recruited by a lot of pastors in the city to come and share his story because, you know, there are some guys on the street, you just, ain't no way Jesus is going to get that guy. God got this guy. And I have to be honest with you. started coming to Madison on his own. I didn't even have enough faith to even invite him. And started sitting over there. And he said, man, I love this church. And he's been coming ever since. Have not missed a Sunday. When his car breaks down, he walks. But the world would have said he was too far gone. He was a least. He was the little. But God had another opinion about the story. And so I'm not going to have Anthony share anything today, but I wanted you to see him because I believe it fit the story. Jesus, why are you hanging out down there with all of that despair and hopelessness? Because there is an Anthony down there that I got to call. And so if you have family members, relatives, daughters and sons, Levi and people like Anthony can give you hope today that nobody is too far gone where God cannot reach and call into this kingdom. With that, I am going to pray as we prepare our hearts for the communion this morning. I want you to have your hearts to know that God is inviting people like Levi and Anthony's to the table of his love. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your divine expression of the kingdom of God. And I thank you this morning, Lord, for those who have children, loved ones, and family members, Lord, that are, they have not yet come into the fold. Lord, I pray that you've have encouraged their hearts, Lord, to know that no one, God, no one in your sight or in your presence is too far lost whereby you cannot save. Lord, I pray that even as we are making room for new faces in new places, Lord, that we don't listen to the gurus, Lord, of the mega church, Lord, say to plant churches out in the suburbs, Lord, because it's much easier, Lord. But God, I thank you for Madison, Lord. I thank you for the leadership here at this church, Lord, for this hour and for this season, that you're calling us, Lord God, to go where the hurting is, Lord, to go where the lost is, to go where the least and the littles and the leftovers are residing, Lord. Not only that we go there, Lord God, but that we will begin to do what Jesus did, Lord. Eat and share with them the good news of life. And Lord, I pray right now that as we take this communion this morning, that we will be reminded, Lord, of our own brokenness and sin. And how much, Lord, you have shown to us your grace. And that, Lord, we would become like Levi. That we would invite some of our lost friends and lost relatives, Lord, to our home so that we can talk with them about the good news of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. I bless you now. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.